Big countries, big money, big meetings.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Sometimes before a big international meeting, both sides will downplay the talks, lower expectations. That's not really happening this morning. Chinese leaders have brought a team of 150 diplomats to Washington, D.C. for 2 days of high-level talks, and President Obama will address the group today. There's no hiding it. Economic tensions between these powers are running high, as reporter Tamara Keith tells us.
Scott Paul is the executive director of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, and he has a unique way of describing the trade relationship between China and the U.S.
These tensions have been simmering for a while. We've had a trade balance that's been out of whack with China for a number of years, but the problem has grown really acute.
The Obama administration is expected to urge the Chinese to foster more consumption at home, so China doesn't have to sell so much overseas for its economy to thrive. After all, Americans aren't buying stuff like they used to. And Paul says there's one other biggie that will probably come up: the Chinese currency. Many believe it is undervalued, which gives the Chinese a trade advantage.
It could be a painful conversation, but it's a necessary one and one that's long overdue.
Paul believes reducing America's trade deficit is key to strengthening manufacturing and creating new jobs here. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Shanghai recently saw its first initial public stock offering in almost a year. Today, the road-building company Sichuan Expressway started trading, and shares tripled right out of the gate, making some observers excited and others worried about a Chinese bubble. In any case, Asian stock markets lifted today more than 1%. Major European markets are up just a little less than that. Wall Street was impressive again last week. The S&P 500 surged 4%. Corporate earnings were pretty good, except they came more from cost-cutting than any growth in revenue. The health insurer Aetna just reported this morning. It says last quarter's profits dropped 28% compared to a year before.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
Corporate bonuses have been dirty words lately, and here is another possible controversy on the way. The bailed-out bank Citigroup is trying to decide whether to pay one of its executives the sum of $100 million. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Andrew Hall runs Citigroup's secretive and phenomenally successful energy trading group. Last year, he reportedly took home $100 million in performance-based pay. The oil trade is good again this year, and in ordinary circumstances, Hall's pay package would reflect that. But these are not ordinary times. Citigroup is one of seven bailed-out banks and industrial conglomerates where executive compensation is now overseen by U.S. pay czar Kenneth Feinberg. The companies have to submit their compensation plans by August 13th. Earlier this year, the troubled insurance company AIG got grief for paying out $165 million in previously promised executive bonuses. Citigroup now has to decide whether to honor Hall's contract and face a similar backlash. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
So American bonuses are objects of shame to some people? Well, that has also been true in Britain, where they've had their own financial meltdown. But Stephen Beard reports British bankers are beginning to once again get comfortable with premium pay.
Only 6 months ago, some of Britain's biggest banks faced collapse. As they begged for taxpayers' cash, the bankers lined up before a parliamentary committee and apologised.
We are extremely sorry.
There's a profound and unqualified apology.
We are profoundly, and I think I would say unreservedly, sorry.
6 months on and not much sign of contrition in Britain's financial district, this exclusive rooftop restaurant is packed with financial types. John Purcell, one of London's top headhunters, meets his clients here. He says the good times are just beginning to roll again, especially for the star traders and dealers, the so-called rainmakers.
We've just heard that one of these rainmakers has just gone from one bank to another for a basic salary of £40 million.
Between $60 and $70 million.
Yeah, it's huge bucks.
Barclays is paying out more than $1 billion worth of bonuses to its 400 most prized employees. The bonus pool at Goldman Sachs is even bigger. This may infuriate the rest of us, but Gillian Tett, author of Fool's Gold, says the banks have little choice but to shell out.
The banks are operating in a competitive environment, and there is concern amongst the banks that if they don't pay people well, they could lose some of the key people they need to rebuild their businesses.
The UK government is now weighing up a plan to stamp on the bonus culture before it gets rampant again, to tie bonuses more closely to long-term performance. But, says Gillian Tett, with billions of dollars of taxpayers' cash invested in the banks, the government has to tread carefully.
The challenge to the government is how do you encourage the banks to rebuild their businesses and be profitable again without going back to the bad old ways?
As unemployment rises, so does resentment towards bankers' bonuses. A recent article in Rolling Stone magazine has gotten a lot of play here. It described Goldman Sachs as a great vampire squid wrapped around the face of humanity. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
That is a powerful image. Well, the bankers might be feeling emboldened there, but British remorse is not dead. The Observer newspaper reports a group of eminent economists has apologized to Queen Elizabeth II for failing to predict the financial crisis. Apparently, the Queen visited the London School of Economics last fall and asked, "Why did nobody notice it?" The Observer quotes the letter as saying, "In summary, Your Majesty, the failure to foresee the timing, extent, and severity of the crisis was principally a failure of the collective imagination of many bright people." Buckingham Palace would not comment on the affair except to say the Queen is keen to keep up on current events. And if you're keen to do the same, might I suggest our website, marketplace.org, where you can catch up on the news and watch some videos and tell us your story. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.